I was saying to Ruth as I walked in, I was like, I feel like I'm a visitor today. It's been a while. No, the last few months have been pretty busy. But thank you for giving Ruth, John, and myself the privilege for praying for you this morning. I think, you know, it's great. I always feel it's a privilege to pray for people. I think it's for me, it's like almost a download that God gives me that I can pray for individuals. And it was amazing. Just every person was a different prayer. It wasn't the same one. So it was really cool. But no, thank you for that. And, you know, it was interesting because the message this morning I'm bringing is around Christian mission and you know, what is Christian mission and our calling to it. And I think, you know, as we're leading up, we've only got three weeks till Easter. Yes, I think so. And when we look at this, you know, and we sort of, I love that the movie, The Jesus Revolution, and there's so much more that's going to come. And I bet you half of you guys have seen the room here. We're in part of that revolution. I wasn't born in 69, but I'm sure there was a lot here that were. But anyway, I think the message this morning, and it was funny because I have it all written out, and then Ash was like, no, God's going to give you something else to say. I'm like, no, don't think so. I don't have that ability. But I think as we were praying for people, we were worshiping, and I just really strongly felt that, you know, we've seen different movements in time. And I think there's a movement in time now, but the message is still the same. And the message this morning is out of Matthew 28:19. You know, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So this is what we would refer to as the Great Commission. And I would say that, you know, this, it's not just a commission, it's actually a command. And it's a commandment. And the commandment is the same commandment from 2,000 years ago, and it's the same commandment today. But our outworking of it is different, and it has to be different because we have to go with the time and the age where we are living, you know. So if you look back at the apostles, the way they delivered mission and they delivered this message is exceptionally different to what it was 200 years ago, 100 years ago, even 50, 40 years ago. Today is a different message, and I think the key for us and what I want to unpack a little bit this morning is, what is our unique position in how we deliver this message to our generation, to the generation that's coming? Because we can look at them and go, it's a generation we've never seen before. It's a generation that is growing up with an incredible amount of technology and access to the world that has never, ever happened. But how do we reach that generation? How do we reach a generation that, you know, has become despondent because they've been thrusted so quickly into the future? And look, I'm going to be ageist a little bit, but I'm talking to your generation that, you know, you're talking to, because things have changed at a really rapid pace, and sometimes we don't keep up with it. Like, even Ruth and I don't keep up with the stuff that our kids are bringing home now. And so how do we bring that this message to that generation? And I think this calling upon us is to understand it, but then figure out how do we respond to it. And so hopefully I can encourage us to do that. So as I said, you know, this message out of Matthew 28 is an instruction. It's an instruction from Jesus to share his message to the world. However, it's not just an instruction for those who love him and know him. It is a commandment to go out into the world and make disciples. He left us with a very clear mandate, a divine commission to carry out his message of love, of redemption, and of salvation through to the ends of the earth. Because the Bible, if we read it, it actually tells us that we are made in the image of God. If you look at it, it's actually the icons of God, the literal idols of God, not to be idolized or to be worshipped, but to represent God in the world where we live. You know, to represent the nature of God in the world and to bring the worship of the world to God. That is what the meaning is. So if we're to live in his image, which is to reflect who God wants us to be and become more Christ-like, then we need to consistently have this outward focus to others. You know, just like Jesus did. His focus was always to others. Thinking of others and putting the needs of others before ourselves. Because isn't that what he ultimately actually did? He did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for everyone. You know, and there's something really special about this particular teaching of Christ. It's because by putting the needs of others in our focus, you know, we're fulfilling his commandment to love others and then to show God's love to others. Because if you look at Matthew 25, the king will truly reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." So having that outward focus is actually fulfilling scripture. It's fulfilling the need to help the least of these. And it's actually fulfilling what I like to call the second commandment, and that is to love others as we love ourselves. Sometimes it could just be those simple little things in life, you know, like giving a dollar to a person on the street that needs it, or, you know, making a meal for a family or for somebody that's unwell, or even, you know, committing to some long-term kind of support of missionaries or people going overseas or children that need education. You know, little tiny things help us to focus our attention first and foremost on our thought, and it helps us to focus our attention and our thoughts onto other people. And this in turn then basically allows us to actively align our hearts to act servant-heartedly, just as Jesus wants us to. So this morning I want to know, how do we get an understanding of what all of this actually means, and how do we apply it to our lives? Because I'm a big believer. I love reading God's word. I love reading other things. I don't like reading storybooks too much. I like reading practical non-fiction, that's the word. But, you know, I like breaking things down, and then I like to get an understanding of it. What does it actually mean? And then how do I apply it to my life? And then how do I enable other people to apply it to their lives too? And no different with God's word. I like doing that. Because I believe, you know, we're all called to mission, but I also want to know, well, what does actually being called to mission mean? If we look at what mission actually is, it's an enthusiasm for the love of Jesus, passion for the gospel, and the desire to share our Christian faith with other people here in our own country, in our own backyard, but also around the world. But also, it's a biblical mandate. It's an instruction for us to do something about it. You know, because if we look at it, we can also sometimes get a misinterpretation of it too. Does this mean that we're all called to leave our homes and go into the mission field? No, not really, actually, quite the contrary. Or do we have to, you know, quit our jobs, become preachers or teachers? No, not necessarily. Some are called to be missionaries. Some are called to be pastors, teachers, but not everybody. But the Great Commission is not actually about that. What it's about is sharing the message of Jesus with others, baptizing them, and allowing them to journey with God, just as he's allowed us to journey with him too, right? We've got to allow others to do that. Our job is not to convert or to save people. That's God's job. Our job is to share his message of love, of salvation, of redemption, and then allow God to do his good work of restoration in him. And I love that word, restoration, because it is. It's an ongoing restoration process. I don't know if anybody here has classic cars. I'm not a car person, but I was with family last weekend down in Wellington, and I had no idea he restores classic cars. He's got a car from 1870-something, one of the very first Fords, and it's gorgeous. I was like, how do you run this thing? Do you have to put like special? He goes, no, I've converted it all over. But he says, you know, I've restored it from its original value. But he says the restoration process isn't finished. I have to continually work on it because, you know, the wood needs to be oiled. This needs to happen. And amazing. And he was sharing with me going, that's how God is. The restoration process is never finished. He's restoring us continually as we journey with him. And I think sometimes we forget that we are being restored, but God's doing it in others, and we've got to allow that process to happen too, right? So understanding the Christian mission, the Great Commission, which we've read, Jesus commands his disciples to go and make disciples of himself. So there's no actual real discussion point on that. We don't have to argue about it. In my Bible, it's in the red letters, so if it's a red letter, it's a, you know, it's a Jesus word. You can't argue with that one. But he doesn't just limit that instructions to the disciples 2,000 years ago. This instruction is for those that would call themselves a disciple of Jesus today. So it's not just a past instruction, it's a current future one today too. And the reason why is that throughout Scripture, we see God's heart for the lost and his desire that no one should perish, but all should come to repentance and find life in him. Because we look at that in 2 Peter, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So our mission is an expression of God's love and his desire for reconciliation with humanity. That's what our mission is. So the Christian mission is not merely about converting individuals, sorry to say that, but it's about ushering in the kingdom of God, where his reign is acknowledged and his will is done here on earth as it is in heaven. In my line of work, outside of what I'm doing here, I work for an organization called International Needs. And, you know, I have the privilege that I have to constantly focus my attention on the needs of others. That's just my job. I can't avoid it because my life is thrusted into this world of seeing the needs of people and then working on ways on how do we respond to this need. And believe me, the need is great. The history of this organization is deep in this theology. The founder, who was a New Zealander, actually, he did his best to respond to the local needs of Christian leaders by connecting everyday New Zealanders like you and me to local individual Christian leaders in other countries. Firstly, understanding the need, and then working on ways on how do we provide for that need, and then deliberately being intent on sharing the gospel with those people that are being helped. And look, it's not a perfect organization, and let's face it, who is? I don't think there is one. But we are deliberate in making sure that the needs of others are met and that they come away knowing about who Jesus is. And it certainly isn't easy when you know there's so many needs out there being met. And this is global. We have it even here in our own backyard. You know, we could look out just even amongst ourselves. The need is great. But you see, I can see this as a challenge also for the church here in New Zealand. You know, at times we can easily focus on what our congregation here want, fulfilling their needs, instead of also serving the people beyond our four walls, right? And beyond the existing groups and members that we have. You see, we've got pastoral care here, we've got missional engagement and connection out there. It's got to be both. You've got to look after your people internally, but we've also got to look at what's available, what can we see outside of our four walls as well. Because, you know, the church is a very unique community. There's no other community like the church. You know, it's a love one another community. And yet, simultaneously, it's a community of invitation, because we are inviting. It's in a community of inclusion, of extension, of going, and also of mission. So I don't see any other community out there in society that has all those key elements to it. Because we, the church, are to love our brothers and sisters, and we're also to go, you know, to go to people just like us, also to go to the lost and to the least and the last. And how do we go? We go as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. That's how we go. Because the beautiful facilities, like in this, look, we don't own it, but it is a beautiful facility. We can utilize it. The gifts, we've all got amazing, unique talents and gifts. Someone was asking me last night, they said their family's all musical, and they said, oh, your kids are musical, Sean, because they teach them. Ruth's musical, and they said, so what do you offer to the group? And I said, I offer wonderful support. I'm the support crew, the best you can get. Oh, you don't have musical talents, but I can offer support, you know. I offer other things. But, you know, I look at it going, how do we as a church, you know, use what we've been given, not exclusively for our own purposes, but for the purposes of others, you know, so that we can build up the body of Christ and extend the love of Jesus to everything else in our whole sphere of life. I love our church. I think this is a great church, not just here where we are, but, you know, an extension out into City Church. When you feel the heartbeat of that church, it's always about looking outwardly and seeing, thinking of others, thinking of how we can bless others in different ways and thinking beyond ourselves, you know, but we can, looking and seeing what needs to be met both locally, internationally, but we also want to look at how we care for one another. And I see that in our church here, you know, there's a great body of people that do. We genuinely care for one another. And I love that about it as well. But I think where the challenge comes, not only for our little church here, but for many churches, is that we see a massive need out there in our community and in our country and in our world. But I think the challenge is we've got to figure out what is our unique role in responding to that need. And I think that could be something that we need to unpack as this year travels on, is what is our unique role here in Omokoroa to respond to the needs of our community? And that's something that I think we need to bring to light. Because, you know, I think and I believe actually that people or churches that are outwardly focused, we have a larger view of our world. We have a larger view of others and how they're impacted. Not just a view of themselves, which runs the risk of living in what we call an inward approach. Like, what's in it for me? But an outward-focused person realizes that others must see their lives being changed, not just in the immediate physical need, but also being changed by knowing and understanding who Jesus is and what he came to do. And what I want to also look at is not necessarily being confused in the difference between what mission is versus providing what I like to call a community service. And there is a clear difference. Many church programs, you know, provide wonderful, great community services and programs that benefit the community. And these are needed. I'm not discrediting them. I absolutely believe in them. But please don't blur them together that this is a missional focus. Because if we're not sharing the gospel in our community programs, then it's not missional. It's providing a service. Right? Community services are great, and yes, they are needed. And they do lead people to asking questions about God. They do open up conversation and invitation. But it's not a missional program unless we are intent on sharing the message of Jesus or telling those that are participating in it who he is. Right? We're not necessarily sharing that. Because if we look at Christian mission and we agree that it's a mandate of God, right? It's his love and pursuit of man and his intention to reconcile all things to himself. Okay, if it's God's initiation, as per John 3:16, and giving us as his followers this commission, which is great, we need to tell people about God. And then what we need to do is form further Christ followers or groups of followers to do the same. And that's the difference. See, Christian mission must be undertaken also with the right motivation as well. They're not a motivation that we're here to save everybody and all that, but you know, the right motivation for people to journey and understand who God is. It really saddens me when we see lots of well-meaning people or organizations, they set up these big, beautiful churches or charities or something else, but they set it up with the wrong motivation sometimes. You know, is the motivation to have a bigger, more attractive church building or to see more people come to a revelation of Jesus and follow him? Or is the motivation for us to actually go out to a mission field because we want to fulfill our own passion to see the lost saved? Or is it actually a true calling of God, you know, to empower local believers and build the body of Christ overseas in overseas mission? We've got to always look at the difference between the two. I believe Christian mission needs to follow the example of Jesus and be holistic in nature. That is, it addresses the needs of the spirit, the soul, and of the body. It is God's favor intervening to transform and bring hope to the lives of people and to the lives of communities. Christian mission is also sponsored by people, you know, who are like Jesus, who want to be like Jesus, who are not building empires, but are humble and compassionate servants of him, pointing people to him, motivated by him as their example, and using practices that reflect Jesus' values. And some of those values could be things like through child protection, you know. It's also inclusive, and I mentioned that earlier. It's inclusive of all people, regardless of their race, their gender, their age, their status, or even their beliefs, you know. Aiming to help those most in need, not coercing or forcing people to turn to him, but to help because he's called us to just help. See, Jesus never coerced or forced anybody to follow him. I can't find that in my Bible. When he spoke with gentle authority and truth. He genuinely cared for the people he engaged with and not only provided for their physical needs, as we can see, but he also gave them what they needed for their spiritual needs as well, because he talked to that. He offered them an opportunity to follow him, and then he left it at that. You know, it needed to be an individual's choice to accept that invitation. It wasn't forced on them, as we unfortunately see in many other religions around the world. I think Christianity is probably one of the only ones that we have to make an active decision to do, whereas others, you're born into it or you're forced into it. Otherwise, yeah, chop off the head. if we look at it, Jesus was mission-minded before he became a missionary, right? He was mission-minded. That is, he was conscious of his purpose and he was conscious of what needed to be done before he actually went out and did it. I think he spent, we don't know how long, but we know that he spent a lot of time in quiet reflection with God, understanding what is the need where I'm going before he actively went and did it. He sometimes, we have to before figuring out our unique missional mandate, you know, that is simply to cultivate a mission mindset first. And I think that's the key, is for our churches, we need to cultivate that mission mindset before we then actively go out and do. And that's the goal for us all. To be mission-minded before being a missionary means adopting a mindset or an attitude and a lifestyle that aligns with the principles and purposes of Christian mission, even if one is not actually formally engaged in missional work. And we all have to do that. So this is what it actually entails. If we look at it, I've got 7 points, anybody who is taking notes. The first one is understanding God's heart for mission. You know, being mission-minded begins with understanding God's heart for mission as it is revealed in Scripture. It involves recognizing that God's desire is for all people to come to know him and experience his love and his salvation. Is this what he came to reveal through himself? Living a life of witness. Mission-minded individuals understand that their entire lives are a witness to the love and truth of Jesus. This involves living a life of integrity, of compassion, and of service, reflecting the character of Christ in all that we do. Jesus was the ultimate witness of God, you know, and it's how he wanted to be revealed to man. This is how God wanted to be revealed, is through Christ, right? The third thing is through prayer and intercession. Mission-mindedness is characterized by a commitment to prayer and to intercession for others and to spread the gospel and the advancement of God's kingdom. It involves regularly praying for others, praying for our people, praying for each other, praying for unreached people groups, missionaries, and also praying for other opportunities to share the gospel. I don't know if we ever pray that in our week, you know. Do you ever ask God for an opportunity to meet with someone to talk about him to them? Try it. You might be surprised. Cultivating a global perspective. You know, mission-minded individuals cultivate a global perspective, recognizing the diversity of cultures, of languages, and of people around the world. They have a heart for the nations, and they seek to understand and empathize with the needs and challenges that are faced by those individuals. They are all unique. You know, they're not the same as what we have here in New Zealand. Engaging in evangelism and discipleship, number 5. Being mission-minded involves actively participating in evangelism and discipleship within one's sphere of influence. You know, this includes sharing the gospel with our friends, with our family, with our neighbors and colleagues, as well as discipling new believers and helping them to grow in their faith. I'm going to share, I always say that if you can't be mission-minded in your own backyard, if you can't be, then how are you ever going to be mission-minded in somebody else's? We live in a free country. We live, you know, in a place where we have the liberty to share our faith openly without any persecution. It's incredible for those that have actually been on the mission field, and I know John can share as well. You know, we have the liberty to do what we want here. No one's going to stop us. But if we can't actually do it here in our own backyard, and how are we ever going to do it in somebody else's? Big challenge. I come across many, many people on my travels, and they all feel that they're called to the mission field. And I say, well, what do you currently do now? Like, do you help in any outreach programs in your church? Do you do anything? Oh, no. When we go to the mission field, we're going to be missionaries. And I said, but if you can't do it here, how are you going to do it there? Maybe that God's going to give them a big download and all of a sudden they become something they're not. I was like, this is your best training ground you can ever come across, right? Yeah. So I don't think God's going to give anybody a download when they leave the shores of New Zealand and all of a sudden they're a great evangelist or a missionary or a pastor or whatever it is overseas. You know, this is the best training ground that we'll ever come across. And to be honest, I think New Zealand needs the gospel more than any time in its history as well, if we look at the numbers out there and we look at our society. So maybe we should focus here. the last 2 points I've got here is supporting missional work. So mission-minded individuals understand the importance of supporting missionary work. And this is financially, prayerfully, and also practically, right? Even if they're not called to become full-time missionaries themselves, they recognize their role in enabling and in empowering others to fulfill the Great Commission. I'm not called to be a missionary. I know that. But my job is to empower those that are on the field and to help them out and to connect people like you with them. And that's fine. I'm happy with that. I don't want to be. But I've got a unique role to play. And everybody here has too. And point seven is seeking opportunities for mission. Now, finally, being mission-minded means actively looking for those opportunities to engage in mission work, whether it's locally or globally. You know, it might involve participating in one of our short-term mission trips. So I know our church is doing three. I have the privilege of leading the one to Cambodia and Vietnam, and come along to the info nights. It's going to be quite cool. It's a big trip that we're putting together, and look, it might end up being two trips because depending on numbers. You know, it could be actively in going on one of these little short-term trips. It could be just even volunteering in one of our local outreach programs. We have one here. We've got mainly music. You know, volunteering there is an amazing opportunity to start out with a community program and then being missional-minded to find out what's going on in the world of these parents or these people that are bringing their kids. Or it could be a group walk, whatever anybody's interested in. You know, or it could be supporting mission initiatives, like, you know, through our church. We've got many things with Outward and Focus, and I think one of the key things we want to do this year is actually bring more of the Outward and Focus initiatives to the forefront of our congregation to say, what are we actually supporting out there? Because there is a lot, but we need to know what it is and give you guys updates on how it goes. So, in essence, being mission-minded is about adopting a holistic approach to life that is centered on fulfilling God's mission of reconciliation and redemption. It's a lifestyle that we take on, which is characterized by love, by obedience, compassion, and a deep commitment to seeking God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. You know, and at times, from a holistic mindset, a specific call and focus comes as the Holy Spirit will lead us in that area. Lastly, the means of Christian mission, and this is the means, firstly, it's done with prayer. If we don't pray, we're not inviting God to be an active partner in it. So we need to pray first. Then it's the mission or the work connects well with people. Is it connecting with the people that we're serving? So is it a need in our community that we have, right? Spending time getting to know what is the need in our community? Is it food or whatever it might be? And including social structures, you know, any other hidden agendas that might be out there. And if we look at it, you know, as I said, mission has evolved even from the days of Paul to 100 years ago. The face of mission is constantly changing, and for it to be successful, we need to work with local people. You know, I love our Christmas in the Park thing that we've got as well. We worked with the local council, we worked with the local real estate agents, and we're working with local people to see what's the need in our community. And hopefully this gives us opportunity to invite conversation, and then we can become missional minded in that. So whether it's, you know, and then how do we make it sustainable, I think is the next key question on that too. So I think, you know, mission also recognizes a special place for the local church. You know, we are key agents of things being sustainable. Churches are, or they actually should be, best placed to spread the holistic message of Jesus. Okay? Our role here in New Zealand should be to equip those who are doing, but also we have to do our part back here at home as well. For those that are engaged in mission overseas, we also need to support them. See, because I looked through Scripture and I said, you know, while Paul and the apostles went out on their journeys, there were many that stayed behind, right? And what did they do? They prayed for the local work. They generated support for the work as well. And that could be our role. You know, we all have a unique role, and that's okay. We don't have to be out there. And it could be financial. It could be through intercessory prayer or even just advocacy, you know, telling others that you know about this great work that's happening, and they could be the support network. So if you truly believe you are mandated, then we can't sit idly by thinking other people will do it. The call is on each and every single one of us. Cool. So all in all, I can't actually name unique focuses or special projects. I can be part of that conversation and calls that, you know, our church need to be invested in. It's your community as well as mine. So let's have conversation and dialogue throughout this year on how we can meet the needs of our community, right? And how do we, as a church, fulfill that need? But what I can do is I can call everybody forward, right? Not today, but, you know, call you forward to be missionally have a missional mindset. right? To be missionally attentive to the needs of what you're seeing out there in the community, to be missionally engaged. And then we can all be open to what the Holy Spirit's calling is on us as a church and as a body, right? To fulfill whatever the missional opportunity is that we can see out there. Because we need to be a church of and both. Both focusing on ourselves, but also focusing on what's the need out there as well. Cool. Amen. Ruth's giving me the amen because it's time to go. Amen. Cool. So yeah, so we need to have missional action and specific calls, projects, and then a season. And I think this is our challenge. You know, we don't have the answers up front today, but just to encourage us here together to think, what is it that is our need in our community? And then how can we open this dialogue up as a church to meet that need as well? And not focusing on just purely a community service, but being missional minded so that we are sharing God's word and his gospel as Jesus has encouraged us to do. Cool. Great. So can I pray? And then we're going to go out with a song. And then we've got morning tea. We do. It's there. It'll be getting ready for everybody. So please join us for a cup of tea and some cookies afterwards as well. And anything else from up here, love? All good. Great. Well, thank you, everybody. Wonderful. Lord, I just thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the heart of our people here, Lord God. And I thank you that you encourage us to have a heart to be missionally minded and to have a missional focus into our community, Father, not just by providing a service, Lord, but also being intent on sharing your gospel message, Father God, because there are many out there that are seeking, many out there that are lost, and I just pray that you'll give us unique opportunities, Lord, to share that word, but also give us encouragement, Lord, on how we can address the current needs, Lord, out there, but also address it in the cultural context in which we're living now, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.